We continue our learning. We're in Rosh Hashanah, Per Beis, Mishnah Aleph. If the Beis Din in Yerushalayim are not going to recognize, Oso means the pair, the Zug, are not going to recognize the Eidim, the witnesses who are coming to testify that they saw the new moon, they made it a character reference. So Mishalchen Acherimo Lahaido, we send along someone else. And according to the Yerushalmi, that someone else is a single individual. And Lahaido, in order to testify, to give this character reference for the pair who are testifying about the new moon. Why is one person sufficient? Usually we need to aid him, because this whole idea is all into Rabbanon anyway. Usually we can assume people are coming to testify about the new moon. We should assume that they're trustworthy. Sending someone along, that's only a rabbinic enactment, and therefore that one person would be sufficient. The Bavli disagrees, and the Bar Tanura obviously is quoting based on the Bavli. When it says Acher Imo, someone else is sent along, says the Bar Tanura, Zug Acher. Another pair of witnesses, Lohaido Lov, Lifnei Beis Din HaGadol, to testify about these Eidim in the Beis Din HaGadol when they come to the Sanhedrin, Shemikachim Nesachodesh. So the character reference needs to be done by two witnesses. Now, you'll say, why should it be that these Eidim, not only can they come along, but the Chiddush of the mission is that these other Eidim who are going to serve as his character reference could be Michal the Shabbos. They can go past the Tchum as well. Why should the Chachamim allow such a thing? Anyway, we could assume the Eidim, it's one thing we want to do things, but Moado, we have to be Mekadosh the Chodesh, you could desecrate the Shabbos for that purpose. Those are the Eidim who saw the new moon. Other people who now have to testify by their character, you're telling me they came in Mechal Shabbos as well. Why the Chachamim require that and allow that? Allow them to be, I understand, maybe on a regular basis, but to say when to allow them to be Mechal the Shabbos as well. So the answer is, it's all within the authority of the Chachamim. Remember the end of Perek Aleph Mishnah Ches? We had a whole list. The Mesachi Bekuvya, the Gambler, and the Socher Shvias, etc. All these people were Pasul Midrabanan. And yet the Chachamim had the right to disqualify them. So if the Chachamim can disqualify people, and based on their disqualification, maybe even if they saw the new moon, they couldn't testify. Now we're going to push Rosh Chodesh off another day because we have no one else who can testify. So obviously the entire Kiddush HaChodesh itself, Doraisa, is based on what the Chachamim are going to decide. So therefore they too have the right to say that since all of Kiddush HaChodesh is based on them, they have the right to say, well, that we need a character reference, and we're going to allow them to be Mechal El Shabbos as well. The Gemara in Daf Chav Beis even says that one person, even according to the Bavli, that two people are needed to give this character reference. Only one. If we only have one person, they can go as well in Mimchal the Shabbos. Why? Because maybe when they get to Yerushalayim, there'll be someone else who knows the pair of witnesses who are coming to testify. Based on a suffix, the Rishonim wonder, why should that be? After all, take for example, the halacha when it comes to Bris Milah. Bris Milah, when a baby's born on Shabbos, so we know the eighth day, the eighth day is going to be Shabbos as well. So we do the Bris Milah on Shabbos and the Doche Shabbos. What if a baby's born Beinash Mashos during twilight on Friday, so we're not sure whether that's a Friday baby or it's a Shabbos baby. So then when I'm a Chal Shabbos for the Bris Milah, we pushed it off to Sunday. Now, why? Because when it comes to a Suffolk, we're not going to be Mechal Shabbos if we don't need to. So why should it be that here we're going to allow one witness who is going to testify that these two witnesses who saw the new moon are trustworthy? We're going to allow him to desecrate the Shabbos and go beyond the Tchum on the chance that maybe you'll find another witness who he can join with to give the character reference. Why would we allow that? We don't allow them to come to Bris Milah. We have when Bein HaShemashos, which is a Suffolk period. So some explain that the cases are very different. Bris Milah, generally speaking, we know a baby is born at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on one Shabbos, so the next Shabbos is the Bris, there's no question. That's what happens usually. Yeah, you have cases where the baby is born at Bein HaShemashos. As opposed to Kiddush HaChodesh, it's almost always a potential Suffolk. Yeah, like two witnesses, they see the new moon, they see it very clearly, they come to the Beis Din, and they're going to testify. So and therefore, we allow them to be Mechal Shabbos. Really? You're going to tell me we're going to be Mekadosh the Chodesh based on their testimony 100%? 100%. How do you know? They have to be interrogated. There's chakiros, bedikos, questions we ask them. And there's a possibility, a good possibility, that they'll be disqualified. So therefore, so many cases of Kiddush HaChodesh are a potential suffix, yet b'mo'ado, we want them to do it on time, and we allow them to be mechalel Shabbos to do so. So obviously, we're allowing chilul Shabbos even in cases of suffix, and therefore, the same thing would be true when it comes to the character reference. Even though you only have one aid to do so, according to the Bavli, when you need two, let him go, be mechalel Shabbos, and maybe there'll be another aid that they find in Yerushalayim itself. Then the Mishnah says, Barishona, hayu mekablin eidus hachodesh mikol adam. Originally, they accepted eidus hachodesh from all people, not concerned about who they were. Misha, even if you didn't know who they were, Misha kilkalu haminim hiskinu shelo yehu mekablin elamin hamakirim. But once the heretics started causing problems, they enacted that could only accept eidus hachodesh from people who the Sanhedrin knew, people that were known. Now, what were they doing? So the Bar Tanura says, what were the meaning these heretics do? Shesachru eide sheker lahato sesachachamim. They actually hired witnesses in order to mess up the chachamim. So what was the major issue under discussion? So we're speaking about, specifically, we mentioned heretics, we're really speaking about the Baisusim, or the Tzedukim, the groups of the sects of Jews who only believed in the Torah Shebichtav, not the Torah Shebaal Peh. And one major issue that came up, which was very relevant to when you are going to be Mekadosh the Chodesh, was the famous idea of the counting of the Yomer. The Torah says in Parshas Emor that when do we begin counting the Yomer? Mimacharas HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos. Now, this is not a reference, according to our tradition, of what we call Shabbos Bereishis. It's not a reference to what we know as Shabbos, the seventh day of the week. There, the word Shabbos is a reference to the first day of Pesach. Yontif is also called Shabbos. So, Mimacharas HaShabbos means we start counting the Yomer when? We start counting it the day after the first day of Pesach. Whatever day the first day of Pesach starts on, the next day, the 16th of Nisan, is going to be the beginning of the Yomer, whatever day of the week it is. However, the Baisusim understood that, took that literally, that we're always supposed to begin counting the Yomer on the first Sunday after Pesach, literally the day after Shabbos. And what would happen then, that the 50th day from the Omer would then also fall out on a Sunday on their calendar, which of course would be against our calendar. And in fact, 1 year, the Gemara says that the Baisusim tried to deceive the Sanhedrin. It was a case where the 30th, of course, you have to deal with when it comes to Adar and to Nisan, the 30th of Adar was the Shabbos. And they didn't. No one saw the new moon. So the Baisusim hired witnesses. This was the case that they would testify that they saw the new moon. That way, Shabbos indeed was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and the 16th of Nisan, which is the day of the Omer, would fall out on Sunday, and so it was exactly the day that they wanted. However, the new moon was not really seen, and therefore, it really should have been that Rosh Chodesh Nisan should have been on Sunday, and then everything else, the 16th of Nisan, everything should have been a day afterwards. So that the bringing of the Omer really should have been on Monday, and Shavuos would have been on Monday, and everything was going to be messed up. And that deception was discovered. The Gemara in Daf Chav Beis says that thankfully nothing happened, but that was a story enough to cause the Chachamim to rethink who they're going to accept Eidus from. Now, there specifically they said, the Gemara says, that they hired people, paid a lot of money. 400 zuz. 400 zuz is what they paid. And what happened was, they said, they came to the Chachamim, they asked the same question they normally do. Ketzad ra'isa salavana, how'd you see the new moon? These are the classic questions they have to ask. So the Eidim said, or the Eid said, Ola ha'yisi b'mala, and they have to take each one separately. So, Ola ha'yisi b'male adumim, v'ri'isivshu ravutz ben shnei sloim. So I saw it was It was going up the moon in Ma'ale Adumim, and I saw it was crouched between two rocks, two large stones. Rosh Hashodom El Egel, us of the Gemara says a Bryce in the Gemara. Rosh Hashodom El Egel, its head is like was like an eagle, like a calf. Us of Domos Legedi, and it's all a reference to the moon. And its ears was like a goat, Karnov Domim Litzvi, and its Domos Litzvi, and its horns were like a deer. Uznav Munach Lo Ben Yarchosav, and between its thighs was its tail. And I looked at it and I was shaken and I fell backwards. The person said, the aide said, and if you don't believe me that this is what the moon looked like, I have 200 zuz. Well, he got paid 200. The other aide was paid also 200. In my cloth over here. So they said, oh no, who got you to do this? So they said, well, you know, the Baisusim wanted to mess up the Chachamim and said, you know what? I said to myself, Eilech vodi alohem, Shema yavou b'nei adam she'inam hugan emitu zechachamim. You know, I'll go because I want the deception to be found out. So the Chachamim said, Masayim zuz nisun l'cham matana. 200 zuz are a gift to you. You get to keep that. And of course, the one who hired you is going to get Malkos. And it's at that moment that they made this takana only to be mekabel edos min hamakirim. Perek beis mishnah beis. Barishona hayu masiyin masuos. So before this conspiracy, that deception that we mentioned earlier, so what would happen? They would be masiyin masuos. They would light torches. Now, how they lit torches is really described in the next Mishnah. So it would be nice to have the next Mishnah later. But nonetheless, we're connecting this to the kilkul of the minim in the previous Mishnah of the Baisusim. So here, too, we're going to see what the Kusim did as well. Originally, they would have torches. And the purpose of the torches was to inform everybody that it was Rosh Chodesh. Misha kilkulu ha-Kusim. When the Kusim started causing problems, what happened? There was an occasion where they lit torches on the night of the 31st. Now, Beis Din did not declare Rosh Chodesh yet. So people outside Eretz Yisrael, they started the new month a day earlier. So therefore, the Beis Din hadn't declared anything. So that was the problem. The Gemara says, and I quote from here, the Gemara says, "Ein masin masuos el ala chodesh shenire bizmano lekadosho." So what does that mean? They did this, they were masin masuos, when on the 30th day. When Beis Din was mekadosh the chodesh on the 30th, they would that evening, so they would put out, they were Mekadosh on the 30th, so that night of the 31st, they would put out the torches to inform everyone that the day that just passed, that the month that just passed was 29 days, and the day that just passed, which was the 30th, was Rosh Chodesh, and that's the way they would do it. Now, if let's say the 30th day where they were Mekadosh the Chodesh was Friday, so they would be Masi and Masuos, they light the torches on Motzei Shabbos. But if let's say they only Mekadosh the Chodesh on the 31st day, so they didn't do any of the torches, but of course the Kusim, the Shomronim, we mentioned the Kusim many times in the past, so they also didn't believe in all Torah Sheh Ba'al Peh. Once upon a time, it was based, it was Ma'aber the Chodesh, they were Kaveh Rosh Chodesh on the 31st. We didn't Masius at all. But they brought up the torches according to this opinion on the 30th that evening, which is the 31st, as we said. And everyone thought, oh, I guess there was, yet today there was just Rosh Chodesh a day earlier. So that was the problem. So Iskinu, so they made a takana, no more any of these torches. Sheyu shluchim yotzim. We're going to send out messengers to let people know when Beis Din was Mekadosh the Chodesh, which of course began to cause problems because till the shluchim, the messengers, got to certain communities very far out in the diaspora, let's say in Bavel, people were unaware. It was already past the 15th of the month. They had to keep an extra day of Yom Tov out of a suffix, not knowing which day should be the first day of Pesach or Sukkot because they didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was. So that's what the Mishnah says. Now, according to some, it wasn't sufficient that the messengers went. They brought a letter along from the Beis Din, which let them know when exactly this was. Now, the idea of sending messengers, so the Yerushalmi says this was something that was instituted by Rebbe. And Rebbe, we usually assume, means Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. The problem is that the Mishnah says that the messengers went out even during the time, and in the beginning of the first parak and third Mishnah, we said that the messengers were going out even during the time of the Beis HaMikdash itself. The problem is the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed before the time of Yehuda HaNasi. So how do we explain that how do we understand that discrepancy? Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi was the one who enacted sending messengers, and yet he was alive after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Yet we spoke about messengers going out even during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ravid understands the following, that when there was a Beis HaMikdash, the torches that were used that we speak about, like this, letting Jews know in Bavel as to when Rosh Chodesh was. So how we used the torches. The torches, when you can see them very far, that the torches were used for people in Bavel. But, and this is the time of the Beis HaMikdash. But at the time, I'm sorry, this is the time of the Beis HaMikdash that we'd have there. But there were messengers being sent even during the times of the Beis HaMikdash for Jews who were living not so far away in Syria, areas that could be notified by messengers. And that was true before Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's halacha. So Mishnah, Gimel and Perek Aleph is speaking about messengers who went out to Syria. Our Mishnah is speaking about Bavel, where messengers were only sent out in the Tilatah after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and Rimon and Rabbi Dahanasi got rid of the idea of Masin Masuas. And others say no. And Rabbi Gamliel Hazaken, who lived at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, was the one who got rid of the use of the torches. And Yushalmi, it's not Rebbe at all. It's Rabbi Gamliel, who was at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. When it says Rebbe, usually means Rabbi Dahanasi. Here it means Rabbi Gamliel Hazaken.